Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Yud Dalet, and we are 13 lines from the bottom of daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis Tanu Rabban. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasunu Batzaru Vashif. So, at the end of the Mishnah on daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, after the Mishnah discussed halachos related to shutfin, related to shcheinim, hezekriya, what's considered a chatzir sheyesh baydin chaluka, a chatzir she'im baydin chaluka, which ties into the greater sugya of good or agud. The Mishnah said, v'kisvei hakodesh, as it relates to partners that jointly own kisvei hakodesh, afal pisha shneim roitzin lo yachloiku. Even if both partners want to divide the Torah scroll, the halacha is they're not allowed to do that. Rashi in the Mishnah defined kisvei hakodesh as Torah, Nevi'im, or Ksuvim, and said that the reason lo yachloiku is because it's a gnai. To take kisvei hakodesh and to cut it is a davar shel gnai, and as a result, in the world of shutfin that own kisvei hakodesh, even if they both want to, still the halacha is lo yachloiku. Either way, the Gemara is going to take the cue of the fact that the Mishnah mentioned something related to Kisvei HaKodesh and going to present to us an entire daf, and really going into tomorrow's daf and the subsequent daf, all related to Kisvei HaKodesh. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Matbik Adam Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim Ke'echa Divi Rameir. Rameir says that if a person wants to make a big Torah scroll that's going to be made up of Torah, the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, the Nevi'im, and all the Ksuvim, it's something that one is allowed to do. Rabbi Yehuda says, Torah b'fnei atzma, Nevi'im b'fnei atzma, Uksuvim b'fnei atzma. That, no, you're not allowed to take Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim and put them all together, but rather the Torah has to be independent, the Nevi'im have to be independent, and the Ksuvim have to be independent. And finally, the third sheet is, the Chachamim say, kol echo v'echo b'fnei atzma, that even as it relates to Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, you have to have each sefer of Nevi'im b'fnei atzmai, and each sefer of Ksuvim b'fnei atzmai. So each sefer of Torah doesn't have to be b'fnei atzmai, but as it relates to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, each independent sefer has to be b'fnei atzmai. So there's three shittas. Rav Meir says you can put the Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim together on one scroll. Rabbi Yehuda says all the Torah b'fnei atzmai, all the Nevi'im b'fnei atzmai, and all the Ksuvim b'fnei atzmai. The Chachamim say that as it relates to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, each individual sefer has to be b'fnei atzmai. The Bryson continues and says, "V'amir Rabbi Yehuda." Rabbi Yehuda said, "Maisa, there was a story beBaisus ben Zunin shahayu loy shmoyne neviim midubakim keechad apir Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He had eight neviim. Rashi says there are only eight neviim, and he had all eight neviim combined together, and he did so based on the psak of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Yehuda said, at the very least, what you see from here is that you can take all the neviim and you can put them together. V'yeshayimrim says the Bryson loy hoyu ela echad." Echad bifnei atzmai, that's not actually the true fact of that story. Rather, in that story, each one of the individual svarim were in individual scrolls, and if that's the case, that maisa doesn't support the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, but rather it supports the sheet of the Chachamim. Omar Rabbi. Rabbi said, maisa, there was a story ve'evil lufanenu ternevim uksuvim midubakim be'echad, that they brought to us ternevim uksuvim that were all together in one scroll, ve'hechsharnon, and we said it was kosher. The Brisa continues and says, ben chumish luchumish al teira arba shitin, in between chumashim of the Torah, meaning in between Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Shmois, Shmois Vayikra, Vayikra Bamidbar, Bamidbar Dvarim, there has to be a little bit of space. You can't just go from one to the other. How much space do you have to have? Four lines. V'chein bein kol navi lanavi, and the same is true if you're going to have one scroll that has all the Nevi'im inside of it. So you have to have at least four sheet in between one Navi and another Navi. U'benavi shel shnei masar, but as it relates to the Navi of shnei masar, those Nevi'im are the Nevi'im achrayim, they're also much smaller. Gimel sheetim, you don't have to have four lines, three lines is going to be enough. Additionally, u'mesayim milmata u'maschil milmaila. In the event that the chumash or the Navi finishes on the bottom line, so then you don't need to have the four shittin in between the chumish and in between the sefer and sefer. And the reason is because being that the next sefer is essentially going to start on the next staff, on the next line. So anyways, you have that delineation, and therefore it's not going to be a problem. Meaning, if the two svarim are ending and beginning on the same column, that's when you have the halacha that you have to have space in between them. If, however, the one ends on one column and the other begins on the other column, so then this is not something you have to worry about. Tanu Rabbanan, another braisa that discusses these halachas. If somebody wants to take turnivim uksuvim and he wants to merge them all together as one scroll, he's allowed to do it. Additionally, va'oise b'roishoy kidei logul amud, on the first part of the sefer, he has to leave a blank amud, one column blank. Now, how wide does that blank column have to be? Enough for him to be able to take it and to be lagul amud, for him to be able to wrap it around the pole. So the amud is the pole. And what's essentially going to happen is this scroll is going to have a pole. Think of a Sefer Torah, right? It has two amudim. It actually has two poles. But the point is that you're going to have a pole. So the hekpeda of Chazal was that you don't want to take the part of the parchment, the part of the scroll that actually has something written on it, and wrap that around the pole. So obviously, the scroll is going to be wrapped around the scroll, but you don't want to wrap scroll that has something written on it around the pole. So what you do is you have one blank area right at the beginning. That's the part that gets wrapped around the pole, and then afterwards you wrap on top of that. So that's what you need to have b'roishoy, on the front end of this scroll, u'b'soifoy, and then on the back end, you need again a blank space, and that's kidei lokal hekev. That's ready to take and wrap around the entire scroll. Meaning, the initial wrapping that's going to be around the pole is going to be blank. Additionally, the final wrapping that's going to serve as the final wrapping after you finish wrapping the entire scroll, we also want to be blank. Now, obviously, that first column is going to be narrower than the last column. And the reason is because the amount of scroll that you need to wrap around the pole, which is very thin, is much smaller than the amount of scroll that you need to wrap around the entire scroll, which is already going to be much thicker because you already wrapped the entire scroll. So either way, says the Braisa that your oise b'roishoy kidei logol amud u'b'soifoy kidei logol hekif. All this, incidentally, is going to be explained in greater detail. U'mesayim milmata u'maschel milmailo, which for now means that although ordinarily you have to have space in between the respective svarim, but if you finish on the bottom, like we said earlier, then you could immediately start the next sefer on the top of the next column. And in the event that you want to go and you want to cut the area, meaning you want to cut after the scroll was already prepared between different svarim, that's something that you're going to be allowed to do, says the Gemara, Mai Kamar. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara's Kasha, Mai Kamar, is Tap Rashi, Mai Lememra. What's the chiddush of that last line, Vimbo Lachtoiv Choytech? What do you mean, Mai Lememra? So Rashi says, because Haku Moidim, everybody's Moido, Dim Kol Echa de Echa Bifnei Atzmei Tvei Odev. That in the event that the svarim are individual svarim, then Tvei Odev, it's going to be better. Meaning, we have the different shitas in terms of how you construct turnivim uksuvim. But in the event that you're going to have independent svarim, hakol moedim, everybody agrees that that's the preferable way of doing. If that's the case, freik the Gemara, what's the chiddush of imba lachtev chaytech? Of course, if you want to be lachtev, you should be able to be chaytech. So the Gemara says, hachi kamer, this is the way you have to read the braisa. She imba lachtev chaytech. Meaning, that last line, umesayim milmata umaschel milmaila, is not just the way it meant in the previous price, which is that in the event that you end a column on the bottom line, then you don't have to have the four sheet, then you could start the next column all the way from the top. We're saying more than that. What we're saying is, you should try to do that. And the reason you should try to do that is because in so like this, if you're taka going to want to go ahead and do that, it's going to be a little bit neater, and that's the way we would prefer you do it. Taisus, incidentally, the top Taisus on the Yomid asks, What about the Mishnah that we just began the daf with? What about the whole previous sugi? It's not so pashut that you're allowed to just go ahead and start cutting kisvei hakodesh. So Tosfos Cheshbon is a little bit this line of Gemara in light of the previous sugi. Either way, says the Gemara, we just said a whole bunch of different halachas as relates to writing Torah Nevi'im Uksufim. Specifically, the last brisa that the Gemara brought said that when you make Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, so in the beginning of the scroll, there has to be a blank column, and at the end of the scroll, there has to be a blank column. Stating that, the width of the blank columns are not going to be the same for the column in the beginning and the column in the end. And the reason is because they serve a different purpose. The blank column at the beginning is to wrap around the amud, wrap around the pole, which is very narrow. The blank column in the back is going to be much wider because it needs to wrap around the entire scroll. But the point is, blank column in the beginning, blank column in the end, and the width of it is not the same. So on that note, faith the Gemara, Akasha Viramini, Trila Sefer, Visoifoi Kidei Logol. The beginning of the Sefer and the end of the Sefer has to be a little bit blank, and the reason is Kidei Logol Tereh. So the Gemara says Kidei Logol Mai. What do we mean when we say Kidei Logol? And there's a big hanocha, a big assumption in the Gemara's question, and that is that being that the Braisa used one blank and vague word kidei logol, the assumption is that whatever it means for the beginning, it also means for the end. So again, tchila sefer, v'soifoi sefer, on kidei logol, and it's the same shear of kidei logol. So the Gemara's kasha is, what is that shear? I kidei logol amud. If it's kidei logol amud, so meaning the tchila and the end both have to be wide enough for you to wrap around the pole, then kasha hekev, how does it stem with what the previous price has said? And that is that in the soifa sefer, you can't just have it wide enough to wrap around the amud, it has to be wide enough to wrap around the entire hekif, the entire circumference of the scroll, and ikidei logol hekif. And if what the brisa means is tchila sefer v'soifa kidei logol taka the entire hekif, kasha amud. How does it show what the previous brisa said that berosha sefer all it needs to be is wide enough to wrap around the pole? Amrav Nachum by Yitzchok. Rav Nachum by Yitzchok said, "Let's stodim knani." You made an assumption and you asked the kasha. What was the assumption when it says tchila sefer v'soifa kidei logol means the same for tchila sefer as it means for soifa sefer? But said Rav Nachum by Yitzchok, that's not really what the brisa means. What kidei logol means is to wrap around. Wrap around what? Oh, b'tchilas ha-sefer, wrap around the amud, b'soif ha-sefer, to wrap around the hekev. Rav Ashi said a different teretz. He said, ki tanya hi b'sefer Torah. This second braisa is talking specifically about a sefer Torah. In other words, the first braisa is talking about with his nevi'im uksuvim, as opposed to the second braisa is talking about a sefer Torah, and the way they wrap nevi'im uksuvim is different than the way we wrap a sefer Torah, k'detanya, and it's based on the following braisa. Kol ha-svarim negdolim mitchilasim l'soifim. All svarim are wrapped mitchilav atzoif. So how do you wrap sifrei nach? So think about your Megillas Esther scroll. It's mitchilav atzoif. That's the way you wrap it. Of a sefer Torah niglal emtziusoi, as opposed to a sefer Torah is wrapped to the beginning. Think about how we wrap a sefer Torah, right? There's two poles, one on the right, one on the left, and you go hagba galila, and you roll it together. How? You roll it to the middle of the sefer Torah. V'osali amud eilach ve'eilach. As a result, there's an amud on one side, there's an amud on the other side, and Amar Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik, Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik said, concluding this brisa, kacha yukais v'svarim shibishalayim oisim sefreim. This is the way they used to do it. So when it came to regular svarim, they used to wrap one galila. It was mitchila v'atzayif, as opposed to when it came to sefer Torah, they would roll it to the emtza. What's the point? The point is as follows, that the braisa that says that your oise beroisha kidei logol amud ubesoifa kidei logol hekif, that's talking about nevi'im uksuvim. Oh, nevi'im uksuvim, that's one galila, you roll it mitchila v'atzayif, as a result, the first column is going to be around the pole, the one and only pole, as opposed to the last column is going to be around the circumference. When the braisa says that the mitchila and the soif is the same kidei logol, it means kidei logol around the amud, because it's talking about, says Rav Ashi, a sefer Torah, and a sefer Torah was wrapped around two poles, which means the two blank areas were both wrapped around poles. As a result, the shear of kidei logol is going to be the same. Tan Rabban, ein oisin sefer Torah, loy arkoi yoiser al hekefoi, v'loy hekefoi yoiser al arkoi. Now this is a din l'chatchila, but l'chatchila it's supposed to try to make a sefer Torah where the dimensions are going to be that the length of the Sefer Torah, or for us, the length would be the height of the Sefer Torah, is not going to be longer or bigger in size than the hekif, which is the circumference of the Sefer Torah. Additionally, which is really six of one, half a dozen of another, we don't want the hekefe to be yoiser alarki, meaning we want it to be exactly the same. So we don't want the height to be greater than the circumference. We don't want the circumference to be greater than the height. It should be equal. So somehow the height, which we're referring to as the oirich of the Sefer Torah, lichatchila, is supposed to be equal to the circumference of the Sefer Torah. Shalu as Rebbe. So they once asked Rebbe, Shir Sefer Torah bekam. What is the shear of a Sefer Torah? In other words, if someone is going to write a Sefer Torah and he's going to write it in a regular size, oisius beinonios, so what would be the proper height of the Sefer Torah where we could assume that the height matches the circumference, so we can satisfy this halach of ein oisin Sefer Torah le'arko yoisner le'kefoy v'le'hekefoy yoisner al'arko. Amar lehen, so he told them like this: Big Vil, in the event that the type of parchment that you're going to use is a gvil parchment shisha, then it would be six tfachim height. If you have regular osius, this is the thickness of the parchment. You're using a gvil parchment. What you can end up is with a circumference of six as well. Beklaf bekama. They said, what if you're not using a gvil, but you're using a klaf? So a gvil is an unprocessed parchment. Tosfos says a whole arichas about this. Whereas the klaf is already a little bit more processed. It's also thinner. So they said that in the event that you're using the klaf, what's the shear going to be? So he told them back, eini yodeya, I don't know. So lichat chilo, you want that it should be loy or if you want to figure it out, average size oisius, what's the shear? Rebbe said, if you're using vil, I could tell you, it's six tfachim, that's the magic number. If you're using cloth, he said, any a day, which really is a raya, that this shear is somewhat of an elusive shear. It's not so easy to be able to be mechavin this. Rebbe even said, if you're using cloth, it's not something I would even know how to do. So with that segue, the Gemara says, Rav Huna kasav shivin sifrei deraisa. Rav Huna wrote 70 sifrei Torah v'lei yisramili, and he was never able to be mechavin this. Elochad, with the exception of one time, Rav Acha bar Yaakov kasat chad, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he wrote one sefer Torah, amishchei de'igli, and he did it on the hide of a calf, v'yisramili, and he got it perfect on the first try. Right? So Rav Huna, 70, he only got it once. Rav Acha bar Yaakov did it one time, and he mamish got it, and Yovah b'Rabbanu Einayu, Rabbanu looked at him in a funny way, v'noch nafshe, and he died as a result of what seemed to have been an ayin har. Only Rabbanu Rav Amnuna, the Rabbanu told Rav Amnuna, Kosev Rav Ami arba mea sifrei Torah. Rav Ami wrote 400 sifrei Torah. Amalu, he told them, 400 sifrei Torah, it's not possible. Dilma, maybe Torah tziv alonu Moshe Kosev. Maybe what he wrote was Torah tziv alonu Moshe. Amar, lei Rava the Rav Zera. Rava told Rav Zera, not the Rabbi Yanai arba mea karmi. Rabbi Yanai, you should know, he once planted 400 vineyards. Amale, 400 vineyards, it's not possible. Dilma, shtayim keneged shtayim v'achas yotze zonav. Maybe it was two against two, and achas yitzizonav. So Rashi says that's like a minimum shir kerem in the sugis of Kalayim. But the bottom line is, I don't think it was 400 proper vineyards. It must have been 400 of these kaloymadiga vineyards, and that must be what's going on. We're going to get back to all of this either way. So the Gemara said, lechatchila, when you write a sefer Torah, ain oisin sefer Torah loy orko yoisra al hakefay v'loy hakefa yoisra al orko. And then they asked Rabbi, Shir Sefer Torah Bekama. So he told him, if you're using a gvil, then it's going to be six tvachim. The Gemara is now going to ask a kasha from a braisa. It's a long-winded braisa. It's a braisa that talks about the luchos, which by extension, as we'll see, is going to get involved in a Sefer Torah, Sha'al Zeh Anu Danin, and it's going to take us literally to Amid Beis. So, really, the Gemara is almost pausing now. It's a meisve. It's a kasha on what we just said with a long, long braisa. And after the braisa, we're going to have to come back and chazer over what exactly the kasha was and then figure out what the teretz is. But either way, says the Gemara, meisve, I'll ask you a kasha from a braisa. And this braisa, by the way, is in what's known as the braisa de Melechas HaMishkan. So there's a braisa de Melechas HaMishkan. Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote a pirish on braisa de Melechas HaMishkan. He wrote pirushim on a lot of the Masechtas Ketanis. One of them is on braisa de Melechas HaMishkan. That is the source, that's the origin of this braisa right here. Orin she'osa Moshe, says the braisa, the orin that Moshe Rabbeinu made, amosayim v'chetzi arkoi, v'amu v'chetzi rachboi, v'amu v'chetzi kermas. It's psukim in the Torah. So it was 2.5 amas long, it was 1.5 amas wide, and the height was also an amma and a half. But amu b'ashisha tvachim. Now, the amas mentioned in the Torah were made up of six tefachim. So we know there's a discussion in Shas, Machlokes Tanaim, whether the Amos were made up of five tefachim, six tefachim. The Amos, as it relates to the Aron, were made up of six tefachim. Which means, by the way, that if you convert the dimensions of the Aron into tefachim, so it's Amosayim v'chetzi arkay, it's 2.5 times 6 tefachim, it was 15 tefachim long, it's Amma v'chetzi rachbay, it's 1.5 amas wide, again, an amma 6 tefachim, so it's 9 tefachim wide, and it's Amma v'chetzi kaimasay, it's 9 tefachim tall. So it's 15 amas long, 9 tefachim wide, 9 tefachim tall. V'haluchos, continues the Braisa, Orkon Shisha, was 6 tefachim long, v'rachban Shisha, 6 tefachim wide, v'avyan Shloisha, and they were 3 tefachim thick, meaning the height was 3 tefachim. Munachos kineged Orkon Shalar. Now we know there were 2 luchos, and the 2 luchos were lying along the length of the Aron. So if you're going to picture it, take the length of the Aron, which is 15 tefachim long, and you take the 2 luchos and you put them side by side, one this way, one that way, so from top to bottom, going along the width, meaning side to side, goes along the length of the Aron. Okay, kama luchos oichleis ba'aron, how much of the 15 tefachim of length did the 2 luchos eat? Proverbially speaking, shnei masa tefach, 12 tefachim, right? Because the luchos were 6 tefachim long by 6 tefachim wide. We're actually discussing the width of the luchos, which has 6 tefachim, 6 plus this is 12. Okay, nishtai rusham shloisha tefachim, which means that there was 3 tefachim of empty space, because the Aron is 15 tefachim long, and the luchos are each 6 tefachim wide, and the width of the luchos goes keneged the length of the Aron, which means of the 15, you've now accounted for 12, which means there's 3 tefachim of empty space. Okay, what was done with those 3 tefachim? Says the Braise, it's same mehem tefach. One tefach you have to take away, and the reason is chetzioi l'koisel zeh, v'chetzioi l'koisel zeh. Because when we say that the Aron was on the sign v'chetzi arkoi, it means from the outside of the Aron, measuring from the outside. Now, the wall itself had some thickness. How thick was it? So the Braise says that each wall was a half a tefach thick. So if each wall was a half a tefach thick, so really, on the outside you had 15 tefachim, but on the inside you only had 14 tefachim. So we knock out one tefach, because half a tefach for this wall and the other half a tefach for the other wall. Nishtai rusham shnei tefachim. So what you're left with is 2 tefachim. What was in the 2 tefachim? What, this empty space of 2 tefachim in the Aron? Says the Braisa, shebehen sefer Torah munach. There was a sefer Torah over there, shenemar, and it's based on the following pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ein ba'aroin rak shnei luchos ha'avonim asher hiniach sham Moshe b'chayr." Now, really, what does that pasuk say? "Ein ba'aroin rak shnei luchos ha'avonim." Sounds like there was nothing in the Aron other than shnei luchos ha'avonim. Oh, b'shenemar, this pasuk of "Ein ba'aroin rak shnei luchos ha'avonim" is actually the makar. It's actually the source that there was a sefer Torah there. What's pshat? Says the Gemara, "My ein ba'aroin rak." Says the Gemara, "No." The pshat is because "Ein ba'aroin rak" is a miut acha miut. Ein ba'aroin is a miut. Rak is another miut. And what's the rule? Ve'ein miut acha miut elo l'rabbis. So it's coming to be marba. Ein ba'aroin rak means that there was actually something else in the Aron. What was that something else? The Sefer Torah. So there was a Sefer Torah, and that was lying keneged those 2 other tefachim. Okay. That is what it's referring to. The Braisa continues and says, "Pinasta aron la'arka, tseyu parnes aron la'rach." But you just explained the 15 amas of length of the Aron. So again, the Aron is 15 amas long. What's in there? 12 of the amas is there for the luchos. Each one of the luchos is 6 tefachim wide. The wool itself makes up a tefach. That's 13, and the other 2 tefachim is the Sefer Torah. Thus, together you have 15. Okay, but what about the width of the Aron? What was the width of the Aron? Amma v'chetzi, ba'amma ba'shisha tefachim, which means it's 9 tefachim. Now, the Aron itself is 6 by 6, which means what? Which means that you have 6 tefachim accounted for. How much space do you have? You have 3 extra tefachim. So the question really is, what do you do with those 3 extra tefachim? So kama luchos oichlois, how much of the width of the Aron was eaten by the Luchos, Shisha Tvachim, six. Nishtairu Sham, Shloisha Tvachim, which means that how much is remaining? Three Tvachim. Okay. Tzemehem Tefach, one Tefach you take away because Chetzil Koisel Zeh, Chetzil Koisel Zeh. We said already that it was measured from the outside. The Koisel Zeh, each one is a half a Tefach, so the two Ksalim make up a full Tefach. Nishtairu Sham, Shnei Tvachim, there were two Tvachim remaining, and what was the purpose of the two Tvachim? Shloyehei, Sefer Torah, Nichnas, Fiyoitzek, Shu Dachok. So that when it comes time to take the Sefer Torah out, there was a Sefer Torah there. Don't you have to take the Sefer Torah out? So like this, it's not going to be so tzikvetched, and that's why you want to have a little bit of breathing room. Now it's interesting, you don't need the breathing room for the luchos, and the reason is because the luchos are not being taken out. But the Sefer Torah is being taken out, and because the Sefer Torah is being taken out, so it's for that reason you want to have a little bit of wiggle room. Incidentally, Tosfos asks that, I'm not exactly sure how they ever took out the Sefer Torah. Where was the Aron? The Aron was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The only time you're allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur didn't take out that Sefer Torah as far as we know, right? Everything that he did was very choreographed. The whole Masechtas Yuma talks about that. And this is not one of the things that he did. So when exactly did it happen? How exactly would it have happened? I ain't Tosfos here. But the bottom line is, says the Gemara, this is the Cheshbin of the Luchos and how they sat in the Aron. Divrei Rav Meir and Azoi Halt Rav Meir. By the way, if you see Divrei Rav Meir, you know another sheet is coming, usually Rabbi Yehuda, which is what it is. And this is only one opinion of how it played itself out. But the bottom line is, the Aron, we know it says in the Torah, was Amasayim V'chetzi Yarkoi, it was Amah V'chetzi Rachboi, it was Amah V'chetzi Koimasai. Rav Meir holds that these Amas were made up of Shisha Tvachim, which means that if you convert the dimensions of the Aron into Tvachim, it's 15 Amas, it's 15 Tvachim Arkoi, it's 9 Tvachim Rochboy, and it's 9 Tvachim Kaimasa. What was inside the Aron? Well, the Luchos, that's a pasuk in the Torah. So if the Luchos were inside the Aron, so the Luchos was 6 Tvachim by 6 Tvachim, there were 2 Luchos, the width of the Luchos go connected the length of the Aron, that's just the way it is, and as a result, the Luchos themselves take up along the length of the Aron 12 Tvachim, which gives you 3 Tvachim of extra space. It's really only 2 Tvachim because the wall itself took up 1 Tvachim. Chatzi on this side, Chatzi on that side, which means you left with 2 Tvachim. What was in the 2 Tvachim? The 2 Tvachim was a Sefer Torah. What about the extra space that you have along the width of the Aron, because the Aron is 9 Tvachim wide and the Luchos only take up 6 Tvachim. So says the Gemara, number one, it's not really 6 Tvachim. It's not really 3 Tvachim of space, not really 9 Tvachim of width, it's really only 8 Tvachim because the wall itself takes up a Tefach, and the 2 extra Tvachim you want that it should be comfortable when you have to take in and out a Sefer Torah. Tosfos says, I'm not even sure when that happened. But the bottom line is that's Rav Meir Shita. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda has a whole different formulation. Rav Yehuda said, Ba'amo bas chamisha Tvachim, that really the Amo of the Aron, the Amasayim v'chetzi Yarkoi, the Amo v'chetzi Rachba, the Amo v'chetzi Kamasai, that Amo was not made up of 6 Tvachim, rather was made up of 5 Tvachim. Okay, so let's do a little bit of math. Amasayim v'chetzi Yarkoi, an Amo is made up of 5 Tvachim, so how long is the Aron? It's 2.5 times 5, it's 12.5 Tvachim. Amo v'chetzi rachbay v'amo v'chetzi koimasoi is 5 times 1.5, which is 7.5. So the dimensions are 12.5 by 7.5 by 7.5. Okay. V'haluchos archon shisha v'rachban shisha v'avyon shloish. Rebuta doesn't argue as it relates to the dimensions of the luchos. Each one was 6 tfachim by 6 tfachim by 3 tfachim. Munachos pa'arkoi shalorin. And again, the width of the luchos is lying against the length of the aron. Now, kama luchos oichles ba'aron. It's according to Rabbi Yehuda. How much of the aron did the luchos eat? Shnei masa tfachim. Right? It's 12. Nishtayrisham. How much is left over? Chatzi tefach. Only a half a tefach. Why isn't it only a half a tefach? Because the whole length now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is really 12.5 tefachim. This is already taking up 12. So what you're left with is a half a tefach. Now that half a tefach is a moot point. Why? Because chatzni tefach, as it relates to that chatzni tefach, etzba lekoisel zeh, the etzba lekoisel zeh. The chatzni tefach is going to have to make up the thickness of the wall. Now notice in Rav Meir, the wall, each wall was a half a tefach. Together they made up a tefach. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have the liberty of making the wall so thick. A derivative machloikis between Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda is how thick are the walls of the ark. But the bottom line is together they're going to be what? Together they're going to be a half a tefach, which means then that each wall is really going to be a quarter of a tefach, which is an etzba. Because there's 4 etzbois in the tefach. Thus, it's etzpa lekoisel zeh. It's etzpa lekoisel zeh. Says the Rabbi Yehuda pernasta aron laarkoi. Okay, we just explained that we figured out how the aron on the length is. Meaning, it's 12 and a half tefachim. 12 of them are the two luchos. The extra half a tefach is just the thickness of the wall. Say your parnas aron lerachmei. Now let's figure out the width. Kama luchos oikdois ba'aron. Or kama luchos oichlois ba'aron. Shisha tefachim. It's six tefachim. Nishtayu sham tefach umechza. How much space do you have? You have a tefach umechza. Right? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, ama v'chetzi means 7 and a half tefachim. 6 of it is already taken. Now, say mehen. Now, if you look at Rashi and Tosafot, a big question what the gear says, but we're going to go with the gear that we said earlier. Say mehen chatzi tefach. One chatzi tefach you take away for the thickness of the two walls. And it's etzba, not etzba umechza. Etzba lekoisel zeh, ve etzba lekoisel zeh. Nishtay yasham. And if that's the case, how much is left over? Tefach. You left with one tefach, right? You started with 7 and a half tefachim. 6 of the tefachim are the luchos. A half a tefach is the wall. So you left with one tefach. What was the purpose of that one tefach? Sheboy amudin oim. There were poles inside the aron. One pole was on the bottom of the luchos. The other pole was on the top of the luchos. Now, what's the makar to there being poles in the luchos? It's actually a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The pasuk says, "Apirion asalei amelach shloimoi me'atze halavonoi." And this apirion is moshel to the aron. Amudov, the poles of this aron, also were made kesef out of silver. But this pasuk Chazal Darshan is referring to the aron, and it talks about amudav made of silver. By the way, Tosfos says, why were they made of silver? He brings Rabbeinu Tam. Why were they not made of gold? Because it was in the aron, and in katega nasa sanega kiyadua. But the bottom line is that you see from here that there were these poles. Where were the poles? These poles were inside the actual aron, one at the bottom, one at the top. Each one was a half a tefach, and that's what made up the extra tefach. Rabbi Yehuda continues. He says, "Va'arges sheshigru by plishin doiron leilekei Yisrael." At some point in Nach, the plishtim send a chest full of good things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a gift to the Beis HaMikdash, so to speak. And that arges was something that incredibly was munach mitzida. It used to always be next to the aron. Shenemar. The pasuk says, "Veis klei azov asher hashivoisam loy osham tosimu ba'arges mi tzidoi v'shalachtem loysoi v'holach." Okay, v'olov, and on top of that arges sefer Torah munach. There was a sefer Torah. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Lo koyach a sefer Torah zeh v'samtem oysoi mitzad ha'orayin bris Hashem mitzad hu munach v'loy b'toicha." So let's just stop here for 1 second. Rabbi Yehuda has a different formulation than Rav Meir does. The big difference is that according to Rav Meir, in addition to the luchos being inside the aron, there was also a sefer Torah inside the aron. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no sefer Torah inside the aron. What there is amudim. There are poles. So according to Rav Meir, there's a sefer Torah. There's no poles. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's poles. There's no sefer Torah. Stating that, Rabbi Yehuda just said that there was a sefer Torah that was on the side of the aron, not in the aron, but on the side of the aron. And he said it's actually more mashma that way, because the pasuk says, a pasuk in the Torah, "Lokoyach hasefer haTorah zeh v'samtem oisoi mitzad aron abris Hashem Elokeichem," that there should be a sefer Torah, and you know what the sefer Torah should be? It should be mitzad aron. And Rabbi Yehuda dashes mitzidoi hu munach v'loy b'toicha. Its tafka is supposed to be on the side, and it's not supposed to be inside of it. So that it's actually more mashma. It's actually more mashma, says Rabbi Yehuda, the way I understand. Okay, so where was it? It was Bitzad, what? Stam on the side? No, because the arges that the plishtim sent, that accompanied the aron, and it was on top of that. Either way, Rabbi Yehuda is still talking. He says, "Umani mekayim im ba'aron rak." The Chachamim, Rav Meir, held that the Sefer Torah was actually in the aron. How do you know it was in the aron? Because it says the only thing that was in the aron was the luchos. Okay, then it's just the opposite. No. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Sefer Torah was really mitzidoi, v'loy b'toichai. There were amudim inside, but it was really mitzidoi. So if that's the case, umani mekayim ein ba'aron rak, what is it coming to be marba? Now you could have thought that it's coming to be marba the amudim, but he says no. The rabbis, you want to know what's coming to be marba? Shivrei luchos shamunachim ba'aron. That not only with the luchos in the aron, but there were also the shivrei luchos. We know there were two sets of luchos. There were the luchos harishayim that Moshe Rabbeinu broke, and there were the luchos shniyos, the luchos that we had. So not only were the luchos shniyos inside the aron, but the shivrei luchos of the luchos harishayim were also there, and that's what it's coming to be marba. Either way. Why did we just mention this whole Machloikis Ramei Rabbi Yehuda? We said it's a long-winded braisa, so we weren't joking. It's a very, very long braisa. Machloikis Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, in terms of what the dimensions of the Aron were, additionally, Machloikis Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, what specifically was inside the Aron? What we need is Shitas Ramei. Now, the Gemara really is going to be Mefalfel Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, so we can't be Masich Das yet from this Machloikis. But as it relates to going back to the Meseve, the Iker Kasha of the Gemara, we're focusing on Shitas Ramei. Ramei holds that in addition to the luchos being inside the Aron, there was a Sefer Torah that was inside the Aron as well. That Sefer Torah made up two tfachim of width. In the cheshbin of Amasayim v'chetzi, that Rameir holds is 15 tfachim, 12 of the tfachim were eaten, in the Lashon of the Gemara, by the two luchos. One tefach was the wall, which leaves you with two tefachim, which is where the Sefer Torah was. Which means that the width of the Sefer Torah that was inside the Aron was how? Why? It was two tefachim. Now, if you remember, the Gemara brought a braisa, ein ois in Sefer Torah, loy arka yoyser al hekefoy, v'loy hekefe yoyser al arka. And they asked Rebbe, what would be the shear of a Sefer Torah? Meaning, if somebody was going to write a Sefer Torah, what's the oirich that it would have to be relative to the thickness of the cloth, relative to the size of the oisis, relative to the circumference, so you could be mechav in this ratio. So Amar Rami told him, Begvil, if the Sefer Torah is written on a gvil, shisha, it would be six tfachim tall, which would give you a circumference of six tfachim, and that's where you would get it. The Gemara in this Meisvei makes a big assumption. The assumption is, and I'm Berushainim, that this Sefer Torah that was inside the Aron was written on Gvil. Interesting anacha, but this is the anacha that we're making. And if that's the case, here we go. Top line on Amad Beis. Now, if you're going to tell me that if you're writing on Gvil, regular size Oisius, then the way to be mechavin, the exact ratio is 6 Tvachim. That means the height is 6 Tvachim. It also means that the circumference is going to be 6 Tvachim. Well, let me ask you a kasha. We know the rule is, and by the way, this is not just a halachic rule. This is the rule of pi, right? So we know that in the event that you have a circumference that's 6 tfachim, or a circumference that's 3 tfachim, it means that the roichiv is 1 tefach. Which means if the circumference is 6 tfachim, just double the numbers, the roichiv is going to have to be 2 tfachim. Now, the kivan de le'emtziyus niglo, we said earlier that a sefer Torah, that was Rav Ashi's memory, brought a braisa, doesn't have one pole, it has two poles. And the way you roll the Sefer Torah is the way we do Glila today. We roll it to the middle. And if that's the case, nafish le mitre tifcha rafcha de beni beni. It means that the width of a Sefer Torah, where the circumference of it is six tfachim, is actually going to be a little bit bigger than six tfachim. And the reason is because the assumption is that circumference of six tfachim is, if you roll it all on one side. But if you meet at the middle, there's a tiny bit of a gap, right? Think of Glila, in between the two sides and in between the two rolls, between the two Amudim. Now, if that's the case, that means that this Sefer Torah was a little bit wider than two Tvachim. Again, how do you know that? You know that because the circumference is six Tvachim, which means that the Reichiv is two Tvachim, and it has to be a little bit bigger than that because you have that little bit of a gap. So what's the Gemara's Kasha? Betray Pushchi Echi Yosef. So how does the math work? How, according to Rami, are we able to take the Sefer Torah and use that to be Eichel, the extra two Tvachim? It's bigger than two Tvachim. You can't squeeze it into a space that's only two tvachim. Omer of Acha bar Yaakov, Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, Sefer Azora, Rashi says, the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote was referred to as the Sefer Azora. Sefer Azora l'tchilasai hu niglal. Although a regular Sefer Torah, like the Gemara said in Amud Aleph, you're supposed to have two amudim. This is one amud, I mean that it's one amud, so it's mamish pinklech, and because it's pinklech, that's why you're able to make it work. But the Gemara says, v'akati trei betrei heichi Yosef. At the end of the day, even if it's exactly two, but how are you going to take something that's two tvachim wide and put it into a space that's two tvachim wide? It's still going to be very hard to do it. Omar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi said, the karich be purta, the karche le'el. Not only was this on one amud, but there was another chiddush. It wasn't even all wrapped on top of itself. But what they did was a little bit of the Sefer Torah was wrapped independently. So think of most of the Sefer Torah, ruba the ruba of it is one glila, like you wrap your Megillah, and then take one little part on top and have it sitting on top of the larger Galila, on top of the larger wrapping, so that it's not all wrapped together, but rather a little bit is on top of something else. The ma'il of that is that It doesn't take up any additional circumference. So the way it was wrapped, lemaisa, was as if the circumference was actually less. Was actually less than six tefachim. So you wonder if you took the sefer Torah and you wrapped it the way you're supposed to wrap it on one pole. So then what you would have is six tefachim, but that's not the way they wrapped it. Because it's not the way they wrapped it, it ended up being less than six tefachim. It's less than six tefachim. So the reichav is going to be less than two tefachim. If the reichav is going to be less than two tefachim, therefore this is something that you are going to be able to make work. Either way, so we brought this whole Braisa to Machlekes, Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda. Why? To ask a meisve and Rabbi Yochanan. That if the rule is that the height is supposed to be equal to the circumference, and if it's on a gvil, the magic number, Rebbe said, is six tefachim, means the reichav would have been two tefachim. The Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu was on gvil, which means it met these criteria. So how in Ramea's world that the Sefer Torah was munach, but Teich Aron, were you able to make it work? But Baderech Agav, we brought this big machloikis Ramea and Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara now is going to be Shalka Vatari a little bit more about this machloikis. Again, what's the Iker machloikis between Ramea and Rabbi Yehuda? Amasayim v'chetzi arkoi, ama v'chetzi rochboi, ama v'chetzi koimasoi. Are these amas made of six tfachim, or are these amas made of five tfachim? Is it 15 amas long by 9 amas wide by 9 amas tall, or is it 12 and a half, again I say amas tvachim, or is it 12 and a half tvachim long by 7 and a half tvachim wide by 7 and a half tvachim of height? One of the big nafkaminas that emerged is, what did you do with some of the extra space? And the reason it's nafkamina is because how much extra space did you have? In Ramea's world, on the length of the aron, this two extra tefachim, after you mefarnes the thickness of the walls, there was a sefer Torah there. In Rabbi Yehuda's world, there's actually no extra space along the length of the aron. There is, however, extra space along the width, which there is according to Rameir as well. But according to Rameir, it's not a kasha why there was extra space, because being that there was a sefer Torah there, you need a little bit of wiggle room to be able to take the sefer Torah in and out. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no sefer Torah there. So what was that extra space for? It was meant for these amudim. Either way, says the Gemara, the two shittas seem to be based somewhat on psukim, as we saw in the Braisa. So the Gemara is going to be mafalfa a little bit as it relates to psukim, understanding these two shittas. For Rabbi Yehuda, mekami delesi argus sefer Torah, hechi avi Yosef. According to Rameyer, there was a Sefer Torah that was inside the ark. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there was no Sefer Torah inside the Aron. There was a Sefer Torah that was on the Argish Hashigru Plishtim on the side of the Aron. So the question is, before the Plishtim sent this Argish, where exactly was the Sefer Torah? Now let's just appreciate this Kasha a little bit better. The Torah says, more than one time, that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to write a Sefer Torah, and that Sefer Torah was supposed to be next to the Aron. Right? The Pasuk says, Vayichtov Moshe es HaTorah Zois, Vayitno al HaKoyhanu B'nei Levi, HaNoisem es HaRoyim Bris HaShem V'al Kol Ziknei Yisrael. Assuming that it's supposed to be near the Aron. That's Dvarim Lamed Aleph Tes. Another pasuk. Dvarim Lamed Aleph Chavav. Lakoyach Sefer Torah Zeh. V'samte Moisa Mitzad Aroin Bris Hashem Elokeichem. V'hoyah Sham B'chalei. And really, what emerges is that according to Rameyer, what does it mean? Put the Sefer Torah on the side of the Aron. It means innovating in the Aron. Mamish next to the Luchos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, means on the outside. We're on the outside, on top of the Arges. So the Gemara's Kash is before there was an Arges. Right, the Arges first happens in Nach. So before there was an Arges, where was it? And for the Gemara, you want to know where the Sefer Torah was? It was on top of the Daf. Daf havanafik minei, there was a Daf, a board that was protruding from the Aron, the Yosef, Ilavei Sefer Torah, and that's where the Sefer Torah was. Says the Gemara, Ramei, hai mitzad the Aron mayav. Had Rabbi Yehuda know that the Sefer Torah wasn't in the Aron, it was only mitzad the Aron, because the Pasuk says, put it mitzidai, and he dash in mitzidai v'lam yitoichai. Ramei holds that it was inside. So what does Ramei do with that losh of mitzad? Says the Gemara, humi boyle, de masnach le mitzad, v'le masnach b'ni luche. Meaning, there would have been a havan, meaning maybe the Sefer Torah was supposed to be in between the two luchais. Kamash Malan, you have the two luchais, and it should be to the side of the two luchais, as opposed to in between. But la'olam, it's going to be inside, minatzad, albeit to the side. Says Gemara, Rameir amudim hechi havekaimi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there were amudim, there were poles, one on the top of the luchais, one on the bottom of the luchais, inside the actual arm. Right? It was learned out from Apirion Asa Shleim, from Apostle Ketcher Hashir. The assumption is Rameir holds of that same halacha. So where was it? So the Gemara says, Mibrai, it was on the outside. It was on the outside of the arm. Okay. Rameir says, the Gemara, Shivrei luchais de munachim ba'arim minolei. Has Rameir know that the Shivrei luchais were munachim ba'arim? What's the kasha? Because Rameir darshan that the Sefer Torah was in the arim, because it says, Ein ba'arim rak, they mirtach mirtach alal rabbis. The rabbis, what? The rabbis say v'tayr. The Gemara said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what do you do with the miyat hachamiyat? It's the rabbis, the shivrei luchas. Oh, so says the Gemara, has Rav Meir know the shivrei luchas from the Arn? He can't know it from the miyat hachamiyat because he already used the miyat hachamiyat to tell me that Sefer Torah was there. Says the Gemara, Nafkalem de Rav Huna. He knows it from Rav Huna learned it. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Maidichsev, what's Pshah in the Pasik? And this is a Pasik in Shmu Bez Perigvav. It says, Vayokam Vayelech Dov Vichalo Amash Itam Ibala Yehuda. Lahalis Misham Esaroin Ho Eloike. Okay, so we're talking about the Arayin. And it says, Asher Nikra, Shame, Shame, Hashem, Tzvokais, Yoyshev Akruvim Olav. So a very mystical pasuk. We're talking about the Arayin. Asher Nikra, Shame, Shame, Hashem, Tzvokais, Yoyshev Akruvim Olav. What's this shame, shame? Oh, shame, shame is melamed. It's coming to teach me that there were two of something. Shame, shame is a double lashon. Two of what? Two of the luchais. She luchais. The shivrei luchais. Munachim ba'arin. Says the Gemara, V'idach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that I know that the Shivrei Luchais were in the Arin from the Miyat HaChamiyat. So what does shame, shame mean? What is it referring to? It's coming to teach me something, it sounds like. What is that? Humi Boileth Rabbi Yochanan. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. I'm Rabbi Shimei Yechai. Melamed, it's coming to teach us Shashem, the Chol Kinuyav Munachim Ba'arin. The Shem Hashem and Kinuyim to the Shem Hashem were all in the Arin. So there was Shemus in the Arin, and that's what that pasuk means. It says the Gemara V'idach Nami Mi Boileth Lahachi Lachura. Rav Meir, doesn't he need that pasuk to teach me that the Shemus were there? How then does he know that the Shivrei Luchas were in the Arin? Says the Gemara, Eni Chinami, you're right. Ela Shivrei Luchas, the Menachem Arin Minale. Says the Gemara, Nafkele mit the Tani Rav Yosef. He knows it from the following. Bray said that Rav Yosef, the Sinai taught, the Tani Rav Yosef, it says, Asha Shibarto, and then it says, V'samton, V'echtoiv al haluchas es advorim, Asha hoyu al haluchas arishoinim, Asha Shibarto, V'samton ba'aroin, Melamit shahaluchas, V'shivrei luchas munachim ba'aroin. Right, Pashat the pasuk is saying the echtav al aluches as hadvarim. I'm writing the luches shniyos the samtam barin. I'm going to put in the yarn. But the way we dash in is the echtav al aluches as hadvarim. Ashahoyu al aluches arishoyinim. Visamtam. So side the luchas that I'm writing now, and side the luchas harishoyim, they're all included in the visamtam. And we learn from there that side the luchas and side the shivrei luchas were menachem bar. V'idach. Rabbi Yehuda, again, who doesn't need this pasuk to teach me that the shivrei luchas is from the Arin, what does he learn from this inyan of Ashahoyu ala luchas harishoyim asher shibarto? Says the Gemara, look at the Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish is famous. Rosh Adam Rish Lakish asher shibarto. Omle HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe yeyashik leichach asher shibarto. We know there were three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did. One of them was he broke the luchos, and it's we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim from the word asher shibarta. Asher is meloshin yasha yasha kachacha, and from here we learn that the Eibishter was maskim, and that's what this pasuk is coming to teach us. Exhale. So as it relates to raid, three short ha'aras. The first ha'ara is so the Gemara discussed in detail the dimensions of the Arayin and the dimensions of the Luchas. As it relates to the dimensions of the Arayin, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Amasayim v'chetzi yarkoi, amal v'chetzi rachbe, v'amal v'chetzi kaimase. Stating that, there's a big machlokes tanan in Brais of the Malachas HaMishkan, of the Basri Yudalit, Remein Rabbi Yehuda, whether that amal was made up of 6 tfachim, or whether that amma was made up of 5 tfachim. And as we saw from that one foundational machloikis, derive several other machloikis in terms of what else was in the Arin. This Sefer Torah that the Torah talks about that had to be mitzad the Arin, was it literally in the Arin? Was it only to the outside? The Amudim that we know surrounded the Arin based on a pasuk and Shir Hashirim, were they inside? Were they outside? How thick were the walls of the Arin? Was it a tefach or was it a half a tefach? So a lot of derivative machloikasin that come about from this one basic machloikas. But as it relates to the luchas itself, there was no machloikas. Everybody agreed that the luchas was 6 tefachim wide, 6 tefachim long, and 3 tefachim tall. So there's no machloikas as it relates to the luchas. The whole machloikas in the sugya is as it relates to the arin and the question then becomes, how much of the Arin did the Luchos eat? But what's constant in all the math in today's daf is the Luchos. They're 6 by 6. The height is three tefachim. Stating that, Tosfos Mesechtes Menachos Daf Tzadik Tes. This Gemara is a Menachos Daf Tzadik Tes as well. And Tosfos Mesechtes Menachos Daf Tzadik Tes brings a Chazal. It's a Yerushalmi, a Masech Tishkolim, where the Yerushalmi says that the length of the Luchos was 6 Tvachim, but the width of the Luchos were only 3 Tvachim. So says Tosfos, according to the Yerushalmi, we have to revisit everything that we just did. Meaning, we just went through a whole Cheshbon, we went through the math. Sai coin to Rameh, Sai coin to Rabbi Yehuda. But that's all based on the width of the Luchos being 6 Tvachim. Right? We said that the width of the Luchos are along the length of the Yaron, and for sure it's going to take up 12 Tvachim of Yaron. The question is, how long is the Yaron? Is it 12 and a half Tvachim, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, or is it 15 Tvachim, Shitas Rameh? Oh, but the Yerushalmi, Mesach Tishkolim, Tais brings the Menachos Tav Tzadik Tesam and Aleph, says that really the width of the Luchos were 3 Tvachim, which means the two combined were 6 Tvachim. And if that's the case, Freik Tosfos, how exactly are we going to make sense of this whole cheshbon? Says Tosfos, you have to say that according to the Yerushalmi, the Gemara said that the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos were Munachim Ba'aron. The way they were Munachim Ba'aron is they were side by side. So that it's true, the Luchos were 3 Tvachim wide. 3 times 2 is 6. But really, it's 6 times 2. Because the Gemara says you have side the Luchos and side the Shivrei Luchos. So you end up in the same place. Now, says Tosfos, the way we have it in Bava Basra, Daf Yudalit, really, it's a good question. Where were the Shivrei Luchos? So Tosfos says you have to say the Shivrei Luchos were on the bottom of the Luchos. But according to the Yerushalmi, they weren't to the bottom of the Luchos, they were side by side. So really, if you would have opened up the Aron, you would have seen 4 Luchos. You would have seen side the Luchos and side the Shivrei Luchos. That's the way it would have been manifest. As I state in Tosfos here in Menachos, Daf Tzadik Tes Amud Aleph. There's another interesting observation that you have to make from this Gemara, and that is, it sounds like the Luchos were a square, right? Sounds like it was a square, 6 by 6. That's what it sounds like. The length was equal to the width, which by definition means the shape of the Luchos was a square. Truth is, Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Kisisa says in Mefurash, he says, V'da, ki ha-Luchos hayu mirubois, shisha tvachim ba'oref, ba'oirech, v'shisha tvachim b'roichav, v'chein darshu razal b'bava basru perik ha-shutvin, daf yudalur amir alf. Ha-luchos arkam shisha, v'rochban shisha, v'obyon shloisha. V'kvar nizbar etzlecha, ki ima cheshben hazeh, that based on this cheshben, he goes ahead, hoyu chasumais ha-luchos b'chaysamish ha-melech, and he says some divrei kabbalah. And then he says as follows, v'hine, im taskul oid b'midas ha-luchos, bein oirech v'roichav v'oivi, if you're going to do the math, of the length, the width, and the height of the luchos, Timtza, you're going to find ki haya b'chol luach v'luach meya u'shmoyne tvachim. Each luach was made up of 108 tvachim. What's the cheshbon? 6 times 6 times 3 is 108. The length times the width times the height. V'asimin bozeh sham sam loy chayk u'mishpat. Chayk is begematria 108. It's kuf ches. And that's this cheshbon. Because 6 times 6 times 3 is 108. U'b'shnei aluchos. Now, if you take the two luchos together, it's 108 times 2. It's masayim v'shisha asa tvachim. What you're going to have is 216 tvachim. V'hoyezeh k'negon masayim v'sheish esrei oisiyos. And this is mechuvin to the 216 oisiyos. Shne b'shivim u'shtayim shemois hanim shachos mitziruf ha-shem ha-miyochid. Which has to do with the shem ayim beis. Above my pay grade. But the bottom line is, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, that based on the Gemara, Masechtas Bava Basra, Daf Yudalit, it's a very obvious observation. What emerges is that the Luchos, L'chaira, were a square. So I'll tell you something interesting. I saw in the Megadim Chadashim, and this is in Parshas Kisisa, on this pasuk where the Rabbeinu Bechaya is, Shnei Luchos Ha'edos, Luchos Eben Ksuvim, Be'etzpa Elokim. He brings that we know that if you've seen pictures of the Luchos, so the top of the Luchos are actually not flat, but usually the top of the Luchos are rounded. Not just that, it looks a little bit, just from your classic picture that you'll see sometimes on the top of the old Aron Kodeshes, right? They're a little bit taller, meaning longer than they are wide. And really, after learning today's daf, it seems like those pictures are not accurate. Because Lechura, the Luchos was supposed to be a perfect square. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Eretz Mefurish Rabbeinu Bechaya, which means all those pictures that you see are a toy. It's not rounded on top. It's nice, but that's not really the way it's supposed to be. That's what you're coming. He brings, though, that Rabbi Yisrael Yanke Fisher, in his Shailos Tshuvas Evan Yisrael, was asked this question. And his question was that all the pictures that you see, and they're in the old Fatzaitish Shuls, where you have the Luchais and they're rounded on top, he says, L'chair, it doesn't really shnim with the way the Gemara is. So he says, did Rabbi Yisrael Yankif, that it's not Muchach. Now, it's Rabbeinu Bachai that says it was a square, so let's put that aside. But he says, based on the Ikka Gemara, he says, I don't think it's Muchach. What does the Gemara say? It was 6x6, right? That's what the Luchais were. Okay, 6x6 maybe means from the top to the bottom, it was 6 Tvachim. It means that it was a perfect square. And he says, even though the Gemara is talking about how exactly it fit into the Yaren, right? So it sounds like these are perfect fits. But he says, the Sefer Torah, Hagaba Atzmacha, which we said was 2 Tvachim wide, and that fit into the 2 Tvachim in the world of Rameir. The Sefer Torah definitely is ogle, right? It's rounded. Sefer Torah is not a perfect rectangle. Elamai, where cheshbening is from one side to the other side. So it could be as it relates to the luchas as well, from the top point of the luchas, maybe it's rounded to the bottom, it's taka 6 tvachim, and as a result, who said it's a perfect square? Again, Rabbeinu Bechaya says it was, but it's not muchach really from the Gemara, it said Rabbi Yisrael Yanke Fisher, and it could be Mekenzach Dingin, and that's where this Messiah came from. I mean, it can get a Gemara, Mekenzach Nishdingin, but it's not, there's no hechrach. And the reason there's no hechrach is just like to say for Torah with cheshbening, even though we know it's ugly. So maybe the Lucha is Mecheshmini, despite the fact that it's ugly as well. And then he said something mamish brilliant. He said that this Yerushalmi, in Mesech Teshvuas, not Shvias, this is a Mesech Teshvuas, it's in Perigimel, Halacha Ches. The Yerushalmi says as follows, Tani Reb Shimon, Tani, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Shimon Gamliel said, Ein Meruba, Misheshes Yimei Bereshes. Very interesting halacha. Nothing created during Sheishis Yimei Bereishis was meruba, was squared. What's the pnimi in this Indian? You have to know. Obein meruba mi Sheishis Yimei Bereishis. And the Yerushalmi's mafalpul, he brings it to Yerushalmi Masechtas Nedarim as well. So he says that the Mishnah says there were 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes. And one of the things that were created was the Luchais, the Michta was created, the Luchais were created. So if the Yerushalmi says, E meruba, Misheshes, Yimei Bereshes, and we know from the Mishnah in Avos that the Luchais were created, Erev Shabbos, Bein Hashmashes, albeit, that means it couldn't have been meruba. Because if it was meruba, then it doesn't stem with this principle of Ein Meruba Misheshes Yimei Bereshes. So Zok Rabbi Yisrael Yankif, I have a raya that the Luchas were actually not Meruba. My raya is because Ein Meruba Misheshes Yimei Bereshes, and we know that the Luchas were created Sheshes Yimei Bereshes. Now Rabbi David Yoel Weiss is Meirich, that really the Yerushalmi has a whole arichas in understanding this inyan of Ein Meruba Misheshes Yimei Bereshes. The Maskona, the Yerushalmi comes out that when we say Ein Meruba, it means Ein meruba bebriyos, avo yesh meruba ba'oichlin. So it could be it's only Ein meruba bebriyos. It's the dogish Ein meruba bebriyos. Maybe the dogish of that Gemara is that it could be meruba ba'oichlin as opposed to anything else. So it's not so posh what he's saying, but the tzushtal is nifla. And from this tzushtal that you see, that Ein meruba misheshes Yimei Bereshes, and we know that the luchas were created by sheshes Yimei Bereshes, that's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, so it can't be. Then he goes weiter, did Rabbi Yisrael Yanke Fisher, and he said that it could be lechatchila, actually, you should make a round. And the reason is because we know it's a Mishnah that says you're not allowed to make tavnes heichel, tavnes ulon, tavnes shulchan, and being that the luchas was part and parcel of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, so it could be if you're going to make now a tavnes of something that is meant to mirror the Mishkan, it could be it's actually not okay to do it exactly the way it was. So Faker, he says, if it was square, that would be a reason to make around it. So it'd actually be a milah to make around it. The bottom line is, the Minig Yisrael always was that the top of the luchas were rounded. When you learn the Gemara, it sounds like it was a square. It's even a Mefurisha, Rabbeinu Bechaya, a tshuva from Rabbi Yisrael Yanke Fisher, where he says that it's not potched at all that it was squared. Fakert could be a meruba misheshes Yimei Bereshes, and fakert could be if it was squared, there actually might be a svara, there might be a cheshbon to dafka do it in this way. That's the first order. The second order is the Gemara in the course of the daf said Amar le Rabbanan Rav Amnuna. The Rabbanan told Rav Huna Kosev Rav Ami Arba Mea Sifrei Torah. Rav Ami wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. Amar le Husa, he told him, no way. It's not possible he wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. Dilma, maybe Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Kasa. Maybe what he wrote was Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. He wrote that 400 times. And if that's what he wrote 400 times, that's probably the rumor that you heard. But there's no way he actually wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. Tosfos brings Rabbeinu Tam. He wrote Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe 400 times. Like, what would be the significance of that? So Tosfos says, "Va'imra Rabbeinu Tam, the Oisei Pasuk Karu Torah." That Pasuk of Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe we find is referred to as Torah. K'da'am Abaper Gimel the Sukkah, like the Mishnah says in Masech the Sukkah, Katan Ha'idei Ledaber, a cotton that learns how to speak, Aviv Melamdei Torah. My Torah? Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. So Katan Ha'idei Ledaber, Aviv Melamdei Torah. What's the Taish of Torah? It's Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. So you see that Torah sometimes is Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. So says Rabbeinu Tam, that's probably what he meant when he said Dilma Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Meaning, he said he wrote 400 Sefer Torah. He didn't say he wrote Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe 400 times. No, there has to be some explanation, some rationalization for why we'd refer to Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe as Torah. It's that Mishnah in Sukkah. Katan Ayedei Ledaber, Ovith Melamdei Torah, my Torah, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Rabbi Bienenfeld told me a beautiful ara. It's his ara. He said that the Gemara says in Masechtas Menachos, Daf Lamed Amar Aleph, Amar Rabbi Shua Bar Abba, Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Halakeach Sefer Torah Min HaShuk. If somebody buys a Sefer Torah from the Shuk, it's Kechotif Mitzvah Min HaShuk. Kosvoy, if you write a Sefer Torah, Malol of HaKosov Kilo Kibla Me'ar Sinai. So if someone buys a Sefer Torah, it's not so good. But if somebody writes a Sefer Torah, it's Malol of HaKosov Kilo Kibla Me'ar Sinai. Amar Rav Sheishas said, Im Higia Afilu Ois Achas. If somebody buys a Sefer Torah that's not a kosher Sefer Torah, and you're Magia and Ois Achas, Malol of HaKosov Kilo Kosvoy. It's as if you wrote it. State on that Gemara Amar de Gazach, that if you're Magia, Apostle of Sefer Torah, even an Ois Achas, it's Mala Olav Akosov Kilu Kosvay. We consider it as if you wrote it. So Rabbi Bienenfeld asked that Rav Ami wrote 400 Sefer Torah. Nobody can figure out what it was. Maybe Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Rabbi Tam says a whole shtickle Torah. Why Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe might be a Sefer Torah. Say better. Say that maybe he was Magia 400 Sefer Torah. And if someone's Magia, even in Ois Achas, it's Mala Olav Akosov Kilu Kosvay. So this is the 400 Sefer Torah that he wrote. Sarachir. Very nice, Sarah. But there's one Dover Nifla on this shmooze that we've mentioned so many times over the years, the Imbeis Medrash B'lei Chiddush that we have to mention again, and that is the Chassam Sofer in a tshuva, and this is an Aruch Chaim, tshuva Kuf Tzadik Zayin, and this tshuva was written to the Heilige Yismach Moshe. So we know that there's a few tshuvas and tshuvas Chassam Sofer that relate to the Yismach Moshe. This is the one tshuva that was written directly to the Yismach Moshe. The other famous tshuva that comes to mind, the tshuva that we have several rabbis on, is Aruch Chaim, Simin Tezvav and Simin Tezayin. Hatzad Hashava between the Chassam Sofer's tshuvas related to the Yismach Moshe is that they're quote-unquote Chassidish tshuvas. He talks about Zohar HaKodesh, he talks about Sheamus, he talks about Davri Nusach Sfarad versus Nusach Ashkenaz, Vadvarim Atikin, Ve'in Kana Mokum Laharech. But in this tshuva, one of the things that the Chassam Sofer was talking to the Yismach Moshe about was Sheamus HaKodesh. And this is what the Chassam Sofer says. I want to talk about this for one more moment. This idea of shemois and the fact that a person can do things al yedei shemois, these are pa'ulois amitios. This is real. This is not hocus pocus, said the Chassam Sofer. This is very, very legitimate. And you know I know that? Because I saw with my own eyes, he's referring to Rav Nosson Ator. And you find Chazal. They were oisik b'sefi yitzira, and they were bara gavra. V'amru Yeshaya am Hashem, u'bala ba'arza. Yeshaya novi yu shemis, achi teufel yu shemis, Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri with a shame. Says the Chassam Sofer that with that hanocha, you can understand the following. That it's mevur in the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra Daf Yudal Amar Aleph Amru Rav Ami Kosaf Tov Sifrei Torah. And everyone was very surprised. How could you write 400 Sifrei Torah? V'amalohu Dilma Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Kosaf. Says the Chassam Sofer that this Gemara always bothered me. He says, you know why? We know Moshe Rabbeinu, on the last day of his life, he wrote 12 Sifrei Torah, maybe 13 Sifrei Torah, but he wrote 12 Sifrei Torah on the last day of his life. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was able to write 12 Sifrei Torah on the last day of his life, so what's the Gemara that Rav Ami wrote 400 Sifrei Torah during his lifetime? I mean, do the math. If Moshe Rabbeinu could do 12 in one day, Me'echa Teisa Rav Ami wouldn't be able to write 400 Sifrei Torah during a lifetime. Now he says, I know that Moshe Rabbeinu was different. He was Rav Guvrei Bezrizos, Abba Mikomaka, and Kivanchu Beteva Hamitsi. So maybe Rav Ami, who's not on the Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu, was able to write 400 al-Koponim during his lifetime. Says the Chassam Sofer, I'm going to tell you a pshat. This comes from the Shlach Kodesh, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wrote the 12 Sifrei Torah on the last day of his life, he didn't write it physically. He wrote it b'hashpas kulmas. He used one of the Shemus, and it was mashpia, his kulmas, so to speak, to go ahead and write Sifrei Torah. The Shlach Kodesh said to answer the Rosh's Kasha, because it's a whole shaila what day of the week Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter. And there's a Messiah that Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter on Shabbos. The problem is, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 12 Sifrei Torah on the last day of his life, which would mean that he wrote Sifrei Torah on Shabbos. Zok the Shlach, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't physically write it. He wrote it b'hashpas kumas, which ties in, by the way, if someone does a Malacha Shabbos, Ayyadei, Oifin Skuli, it is considered Malacha Shabbos, not considered Malacha Shabbos. But the bottom line is, says the Chassam Sofer, that Moshe Rabbeinu Taka wrote 12 Sifrei Torah. But when he wrote the Sifrei Torah, he wrote it b'hashpas kumas, and that was pshat in this pel. Rav Ami wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. Can't be. I, Moshe Rabbeinu, wrote 12 Sifrei Torah in a day. Yeah, he did it b'hashpas kumas. V'arai was Shabbos. Oh, b'hashpas kumas is not a tzushtel. Says the Chassam Sofer v'amarti. I once said that maybe it's that's taka pshat in our Gemara. The Gemara says, they told the Oilam that Rav Ami wrote 400 Sifrei Torah during his lifetime. Amalahu. He said, maybe he wrote Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. The Kamakumus in Nishtabru. Pun intended. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe? What does Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe have to do with Torah? Rabbi Tam said, because Kotana Yedea Ladabra Abbam the Torah, my Torah, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Says the Chassam Sofer, it could be that the Rosh HaTevis of Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe is Tof Tzadik Lamid Mem, which is the same gematria as Kuf Samach Tof. Keses, which Kiyodua, says the Chassam Sofer, is one of the Shemois. And Kiyodua, says the Chassam Sofer, that's the Shem of Ksiva, right? What's a Keses? Right, that's a quill. That's something that the Sofer uses. So says the Chassam Sofer, that you want to know what the Gemara meant, Dilma Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, maybe it was B'Hashpa's Kulmas. And just like Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shlach Kodesh said, wrote 12 Sifrei Torah B'Hashpa's Kulmas, maybe that's what Rav Ami did. What does that have to do with Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe? Because Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe is Tov Tzadik Lamed Mem, which is the exact gematria of Kuf Samuch Tov 560. And Fakert, that's good for what he was trying to tell him. What he was trying to tell him was that maybe he wrote this B'Hashpa's Kulmas. So it's interesting. This is Inyan of Hashpa's Kulmas. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shlach Kodesh, said, wrote his 12 Sifrei Torah b'Hashpa's Kulmas. And the Chassam Sofer is being mechadish that it could be Rav Ami that wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. He wrote his 400 Sifrei Torah b'Hashpa's Kulmas. The Chidah, we know, was a Shadar. He was a Shlucha de Rabbanon. And he traveled around Europe and he wrote a very famous diary. In fact, he wrote two diaries about his trials and tribulations during the time that he was in Europe, and it was printed in a sefer. The sefer is called Magil Tov. Magil Tov was out of print for over 100 years, and then recently a few machones put it out, and today it's something you can very, very much find. But either way, Magil Tov is an autobiographical account. It's a diary, for lack of a better word, that was written by the Chida. In Shnas Tov Kuf Lamed Ches, Chav Hei Nisan, the Chidah writes the following entry. He says, Sipar li a Rav Hersh mi Bolochov, Shashoma mi pi Magidei Emes, Shagoyin Rav Heschel, referring to the Rebbe of Heschel, Bishnas Tov Ches, Tach of Tach V'Tat Fame, right, in the year 1648, Holach LeVienna. He went to Vienna. V'hoyesham of Bezin, Rav Sheftel, Bal Vavei Hamudim. And the of Bezin of Vienna at that time was Rav Sheftel, who was the author of the Sefer Vavei Hamudim, who was also the son of the Shlach HaKadosh. So the Rebbe Reb Heschel has this encounter with Rav Sheftel, who is the of Bezin of Vienna. He's the son of the Shlach. V'lo hechshev kol kach la Rav Heschel. And Rav Sheftel, when he met the Rebbe Reb Heschel, he didn't know who he was, and he didn't give him so much kavod. V'Rav Heschel shom imenu pirush dibratoises. No, either way, he says, no, can I ask the Rav a question? He says, sure. He asked him shana na toisvis, and the Omer sheyayin v'yoshev. He said he has to be ma'ayin. He doesn't know the answer to this question. He's going to get back to him. V'ayin. And Reb Sheftel was ma'ayin. V'loy matzah yodam. And he couldn't come up with an answer. V'is anah. So he fasted. Ubach and he cried. V'is balin and he davened. Atch baba chaloyin ovi v'agoyin bal shlo. Until the father of Sheftel, who was the shlo, came to his son in a dream. V'omale. And he told him pirish divrei ha-toisvis. He told him pshat and toisvis. V'tzivo. And he commanded him. Lizor b'chvoy derav heshel. And then he said, I want you to know, this yid that came to you, that you were a mechabed so well, be very careful. Nishmas Rabbeinu Tam. because the Rebbe Reb Heschel has the neshama of Rabbeinu Tam. The achakach shalach harav Reb Sheftal Reb Heschel sheyavu beis haknesses shloy. After when he woke up from this dream, so he called Reb Heschel to come to his beis haknesses. Vosaloi covet gadol, gave him a lot of covet. Vaolamaloi pirish divrei atoisves, told him pshat and toisef. The Rebbe Reb Heschel is Rabbeinu Tam, so as the chenef in the Bali Tosfos, right? But he told him pshat and toisef. The nishba Reb Heschel berabim sheein ze. And then the Rebbe Reb Heschel swore, he says, the only way that Reb Sheftal was able to tell me this pshat, they must have revealed it to him from Shemayim, which was what happened. The Shlok, his father, had come to him in a dream. Either way, the Chidah is continuing to write. This is literally L'shoyne Azov Shal HaChidah. V'oit Siper. Karav Reb Heschel ha-yoloimed ba-halacha. Reb Heschel used to learn halacha. And one time he was learning, v'rod divrei marsha. He came across a marsha. So he's sitting and learning a marsha. V'kos, he got very angry at the marsha. He didn't like his pshat. V'zorega sefer la-aretz, and he took the sefer and he threw it on the ground. This is what the Rebbe Reb Heschel did. V'hoyim mitztair, and he was in pain. Eich oimren al marsha gedula is ve'echta. So people say such amazing things about the marsha. I don't know, I don't understand it. The Nisnamid Sham Shabbat Bacher Echad. And as this happened, there was a Bacher that came. The Nichtasim Bidvarim, and he started talking to him and learning. Ad Sharab Amalei Divrei Marsha. And in the conversation of learning, the Rebbe Reb Heschel tells this Bacher, this Marsha that he just saw, and why he doesn't like the Pshat, and he got so angry. Vano Isay a Bacher. So the Bacher told him, Efshesha Kavanas Marsha Kachi. Maybe this Pshat in the Marsha. Then it's Baal Harav. And the Rebbe Reb Heschel, when he heard what the Bacher said, he realized that this Bacher was right, and he realized that what the Marsha said was emes. V'nishba, and after that he swore shaloi l'chaber sefer. The Rebbe Reb Heschel swore, I'm not going to write any svarim. Me'achash afilu hu, like kiven b'divrei Marsha, v'zilzal boy, v'kach yasa l'chibura. And he understood that mida keneged mida, if he's ever going to write a sefer, they're going to be mezalzal in his svarim. And that's why we don't have svarim from the Rebbe Reb Heschel, even though we know how great the Rebbe Reb Heschel was. But this is all urban legend. But at the end of the day, we don't have svarim. And the reason we don't have Svarim is based on this story. Because he was once mezalzel in the Marsha, and he felt mida keneged mida, it was going to come back to him. Oit Siper, the Chidah continues to write, and here's the punchline. Sharav Shach, the Shach, Pshapsi Akoyin, the Shach. He was a Talmud of the Rebbe Reb Heschel. And he was Rotz Vov Shois Lefneyo Agolo Sharav Rav Heschel. He was Mishores and Mishamesh, the Rebbe Reb Heschel, in an incredible, incredible way. And he was mevatel himself to this year, the Rebbe Reb Heschel. Oit Siper. And he continued. This is Reb Sheftal, the son of the Shlach, talking. Sha'ashach hoyo yodeya shem ha-koysev. That the Shach knew the shame that's able to write. For hoyo medaber, the Shach would talk, v'hakol miskoysev. And his kumis would write, may elav by itself, umishum achi kosav kamisvar. And that's how the Shach was able to write. So the Chidah says, I met this Yid Reb Sheftal, and he's telling me mices about the Rebbe Reb Heschel, fascinating stories, right? We know the Chidah used to collect stories, and he's telling me these stories. Then he started telling me stories about the Rebbe Reb Heschel's Talmud, the Shach, who everybody knows. And he said that the Shach knew how to be mashpia the kumis. Like, Moshe Rabbeinu. And like Rav Ami and Chuvas Chassam Sofer, he knew how to be Mashpia the Kumis, and that's why he was able to write so many svarim. And the Chidah said, "V'kol zeh shama migoinim kshayt imrei emes." He said he heard this from real sources. These are not bubba maises. He heard this from reliable sources. Ubahag, and he says later, I was in Hague and shamati. I heard over there shashach hoyolei shem hametzio. He had access to another one of the shemes, and this shame that he had was the shem hametzio limtzoi tekef habikias. Whenever he had to find a marmakim, he was immediately able to find the Maramakim. So Torah Leva Shemayimi, we know we basket like the Shach in all areas of Chayshu Mishpat. And the Shach, it wasn't Torah Mishamayim, but there was some assistance from Shemayim. He had the shame that was able to be Mashpia, the Kumis. He had the shame that was able to find the Maramakim. So he's trying to find the Maramakim. So the Shach had an ability. He had a search engine before there were search engines. He had this shame, Hamitzir, that was able to find him anything that it was able to find. In the Mechon Hamor edition of the Magal Toiv, so there's Siyunim and Ha'oris on the bottom, and one of the Marmakoimis that they say is, take a look at Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Sefer, Edus B'Yaakov, Chelik Beis, page Memches and page Memtes. So Baruch Hashem, I have Edus B'Yaakov, Chelik Beis, page Memches and page Memtes. So, Kamuvin, I took a look, and Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Sefer over there is discussing a very interesting idea, and that is that you find that Kohanim have better memories than non-Kohanim. And he says, really, it comes from the Arizal, that The Arizal said that Koyanim yesh lahem schira. They have good memories. Mishum shahayu oichlam bekachim. And the reason is because they used to eat kachim. And he says that's the oimik that kachi kadoshim was nechal zichrei kohuna. Zichrei kohuna literally means koyanim that are males. But zichrei is also miloshin zikaron. And al yedei the kachi kadoshim that they ate, these koyanim end up getting a good zikar. So either way, kedarke bakoydash, he's mafalful with different koyanim that you find in the Gemara. Shmuel and Reb Zera, and how they had memories. It's mamish classic Reb Yaakov Chaim Sofer, which takes this Arizal. He says, oh, because he was a Kohen, and that's why he remembered, and he was a Kohen, and that's why this. And he's very much mafalful as it relates to different Kohanim. But at the end, he says like this, Ve'echtoim ma'morizeh b'hargosha shehrigashti b'dibris kotshe shal argoin ha'chidaza. Listen to Bikias. He said, I've had this hergish from learning the Chidah. Shepamim harbe kasha mevi divrei Rabbeinu Agadol z'abal shach. That there are many times when he brings the Chidah, Torah from the Shach, mishtamishu b'matbeya loshen kavua. He uses the following loshen, kol roz lay honestly. That the Shach wasn't just a baki, but kol roz lay honestly. Literally, there was no secret that evaded him. He knew everything. Uladugma says, I'm going to give you a few examples, okay? So if somebody asks you, where does the Chidah about the Shach say, kol roz lay honestly? Here we go. B'sifre machzik bracha, erechayim simen reish tzadik zayin oisei. Harogu b'divrei kodshe shal ha-Shach, hakir yakirenu, the kol roz lay honestly. V'chol sifre de beirab neskorun lefana. In one of the drushes form of the Chidah, this is in Drush Dalu, the Shabbos Shuva, Taflamet Aleph, Amet Aleph. Quote, says the Chidah, Einecha Arroyos, Da Rav Shach, Kol Rozloi Onesloi, Va'af Hu Hevri Divri Mariba. In one of the Chuvas from the Chidah, this is Shalos Chuvas Toiv Ayin, Simin Vav, Dibir Amaschul Omnam. The Chidah says as follows, Harav Shach, the Charifa Sakina, the Kol Rozloi Onesloi. He says it again, in his sefer Ya'ir Oysen, Mareches Hei Klal Hei, V'yesh Lahargish Al HaShach, the Chol Roz Loi Honestly, V'uchayfis Kol Chadrei, Eich Loi Zohar V'chulu, and in Mareches Aleph, he says, V'ashe Gozar Oymet Dishtam Mitzel L'Rav Shach, Divrei Atoysves Amino, Da Rav Shach, Ein Shmita Noi Heges Poit Bizman Hazeh. As it relates to the Shach, there's no Shmita, he doesn't forget anything, there's no Ishtam Mitzel, Shmita is not Noi Bizman Hazeh. In Birkei Yosef, in Yerudei, Simen Reish Ayin Vav Oyf Siyot Ches, Rav Shach, the coolest Sifri, the Be'rav, Keman, the Monach, Bekiste. So he says, what's the Pshat? The Shach seems to have this incredible Zikar. And he says, oh, because he was a Kohen. And because he was a Kohen, and Kachin is Nechel Zichrei Kuhn. And by the way, he has a whole Arichas that even though Bezman HaZeh, there's no Achilas Kachin, but this Inyan of through Achilas Kachim is laughed after when they ate Kachim, but this is part and parcel of Shevet Kahuna, that if you're a Kayin, that you're Zoicha to this particular Schos. But then at the end, and this is why the Mitzayin this, at the end he says, Oy Ulai Tamadavar, says, could be the reason that the Chidah was so nispal from the Bekiyas of the Shach, and every time he's handling the Shach and Amar Mokim, he gets this raggish, he gets passionate, he starts screaming, Kol Rosli, honestly, Shmit does not know you, Bezman HaZeh by the Shach. It could be, it's based on what the Chidah writes in his Magal Toiv, and that is he met Reb Shefta, who was the son of the Shlach, and he told him that the Shach had, he said that the Shach had access to two of the Shemus. One of the Shemus that he had was the Shein of the Kolmus, that is, it was able to facilitate him to be able to write all these Svarim. But he had another one of the Shemus. That was the shame of the Metziah. And the shame of Metziah allowed him to have access to all the different Mar Mekoymes and all the different Bekiyas that other people don't have. That means the Shach was not operating B'derech HaTeva. He was finding his Mar Mekoymes through Bekiyas. So ordinarily, somebody's writing a Sefer, it's a Shtamitzeh. He has the Mar Mokim. He doesn't have the Mokim. Kol Rosloi, honestly. The Shach was Kol Rosloi, honestly. Literally. And that's what the excitement of the Chidah is. He keeps on stressing this and he keeps on emphasizing this because as it relates to the Shach, it was called Rosli, honestly, in the literal sense. What was the literal sense? Because he had access to this. Again, why are we talking about this? A little bit of a digression, but all the Gemaras and Ashutvin are digression. We're talking about this because the Gemara says that Rav Ami wrote 400 Sifrei Torah and the Olam said, it's no way, you can't write 400 Sifrei Torah. So the Gemara says, maybe Maybe it was Rav Hamnuna who said it. Maybe what he wrote was Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. What does it have to do with 400 Sifrei Torah? That's 400 times. So Rabbeinu Tam said Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe is what? It's because Katan Edel Adaber of Malam De Torah. What's of Malam De Torah? Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Oh, maybe that's why. But Chassam Sofer in his Tshuva to the Yismach Moshe and his Chassidus Tshuva to the Yismach Moshe and Erechaim Simon Kuv Tzadik Zayin. He said that maybe the Oymek was that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 12 Sifrei Torah the last day of his life, and he did it on Shabbos, and the Shlach Kadosh said, based on what? Based on the fact that it had been done by Ashpaz Kumas. Rav Ami also wrote about Ashpaz Kumas. Where do you see in Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Ashpaz Kumas? Because the Shem of Ashpaz Kumas Ki Yudua is Kuf Samach Sof. And the Rosh Tevis of Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe is Kuf Samach Sof. That's the Oymik Ashpaz Kumas, which tied us in to the Shach, whose Rebbe, the Rebbe of Heschel, was Nishmas Rabbeinu Tam. His encounter with Rav Sheftel, who was the son of the Shlod, all comes together. But the bottom line is, that's this Inyan of Ashba's Kulmas, Umi Inyan Le Inyan, the Ashba of the shame of the Mitzi.